The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Let's talk about the UK elections. Very serious event happening, what, in a month or so?
Exactly, December 12th. And everybody's a racist. Have you ever had that feeling, look around you, everybody's a racist? That's the UK elections in a nutshell. And I'll explain. So recently, a guy called Youssef David, a London observant Jew, grew up in Golders Green. He's running for the Brexit Party. And he decided he's going to challenge Jeremy Corbyn at his own constituency. And this guy, Youssef David, believes in miracles, right? Because he was raised in Jewish schools. That's a good thing. He's going to need one if he's going to beat Corbyn at his own constituency, where Corbyn has a 73% vote in 2017. So he's saying, okay, I don't stand a chance to actually beat Corbyn, but I want to make a stand against Corbyn's racism. And as many people know, Labour under Corbyn has a huge anti-Semitism problems right now being investigated by the watchdog on racism of the UK. It's the first time that any mainstream party is under that kind of scrutiny. But then actually David's party, the Brexit party, has its own problems with racism. It's being led by Nigel Farage, who's a right-wing figure, has spoken about globalists who want to dominate world trade, you know, the usual tropes.
Yes.
So he's taking flak for that. Brexit has some nativist aspects, shall we say. So how useful to have Youssef David, this London Jew, run against Corbyn, deflecting criticism from the Brexit party and taking it to Corbyn's backyard. So that's two racism problems. And if that's not enough, the Conservatives under Boris Johnson have their own racism problem, because he recently called Muslims letterboxes, and he said he found it ridiculous that women dressed like letterboxes, because they were referencing the burqa with the slit for the eyes. So that generated a lot of criticism over Johnson for alleged Islamophobia. So this guy from Labour is challenging Johnson at his constituency. Ali Milani, he's an Iranian-born politician, and there are some Jews who support him despite their problems with Corbyn, because they feel that the Conservatives are more of a problem because they're in power. So everybody's a racist in the UK elections, and we'll see how that pans out. Right now, all bets are off. Nobody knows how it's going to shake out, because if we remember, in 2017, Theresa May, the former prime minister of the Conservatives, was supposed to be a walk in the park for her. She was supposed to blow Corbyn out of the water. In the end, she lost her edge. She had to find coalition partners, and she nearly lost the election.
Greatest miscalculation ever. Theresa May counting on winning the election.
I wouldn't like to give the wrong impression. I have to say something. You know, we speak about Labour anti-Semitism and the racism problem in the UK elections all the time. It's all the news that comes out of that country. But I would like to submit that since 2015, when Corbyn becomes Labour leader and brings his anti-Israel, anti-capitalist and anti-Jewish, let's be frank, agenda into the heart of that party. Since then, this issue has been non-stop in the headlines. Even publications like The Guardian and The Independent and a National Inquiry and an Interparliamentary Committee. It's hurting Labour. It's hurting it real bad. And I would just like to posit that the fact that there's a large anti-Semitic party with a real chance at achieving power in Britain, that's not unusual in Europe. Okay, we have in France, we have the National Rally led by Marine Le Pen, who's born to a Holocaust denier. We have in Italy unsavory people. We have the Golden Dawn in Greece. This is all over the place. But what's not happening is in any of these countries that those parties are having to pay such an enormous price, as in the UK, for their racism.
Yeah, and what is just so counterintuitive in the context of the British elections is I think it would be fair to say that the Labour Party would actually have been the spiritual home of the vast majority of British Jews had it not been for Jeremy Corbyn.
Right, and it used to be. It used to be, absolutely.
So I think they're really left in a really invidious position. And in living memory, I do not recall a time when a Jewish newspaper went as public as the Jewish Chronicle in the UK did last week, where they went out with a front page telling British non-Jews, this was not an article addressed to Jews, saying, please understand why we feel like we're feeling and do everything that you can to stop Jeremy Corbyn from winning on the day. And I just think it was such a powerful, incredibly powerful article. Did you see that one, Knan?
Yes. And in it, they do sort of give the impression that they don't feel that anti-Semitism plays a large enough role in the campaign. But I think realistically, when you take a comparative look, when you look at the whole continent from a bird's eye view, I think little more can be expected of the British. I personally am in awe of the way that British society is making racists pay.
Isn't that interesting?
Politically.
And then just before I let you go, Kran, I came across an article from Jonathan Friedland, who wrote for The Guardian, and the final paragraph of the story that he wrote, where he was saying, kind of in a way explaining the Jewish attitude towards Corbyn, saying, I'm afraid that Jewish history has made us this way, prone to imagining the worst. We look at our usually sparse family trees and we can pick out the pessimists, those who panicked and got out. It was they who left their mark on us. You see, the optimists, those who assumed things would work out for the best, they never made it out on time. And that is an article published by The Guardian. No friends, I don't think, specifically of the Jewish community, certainly not of Israel. Yeah, interesting times, Knan. We'll watch where this goes. Knan, as always, thank you for your input. Highly valued and appreciated. And look forward to speaking to you same time next week.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.